Acre.
Saturday, August 13th, with a parade at 2 p.m. from 7th Street Park, leading to the Henry Hudson Riverfront Park.
Family festivities include Gaia Roots World Music,
Gabriel's Groove Latin Jazz Band,
a community talent show,
Best Fairy Tale Costume Contest,
and African musicians and dancers.
For information, call 518-828-3612. Come and join the fun.
WGXC founding underwriting support is provided by Buy in Green, connecting Greene County consumers with the businesses and services they need. Buyingreen.com.
Good morning. This is At Issue, and we're on WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm Victor Mandolia. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM, broadcasting from Acre, New York. We are in the Hudson studio, and my guest this morning is Nick Haddad, who is running for mayor of the city of New York.
Mayor of the city of Hudson.
I mean, the city of Hudson, I'm sorry. and he's been through quite a week in the courts, and we'll be talking about that in a few moments. I did want to just read a disclaimer. The views expressed by volunteer on-air hosts like myself do not represent or reflect the views of WGXC. WGXC is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXC's on-air dialogue, call 518-828-0290. Or email info@wgxc.org. So, welcome.
Thank you.
You've had some week.
It's been yeah, we have had some week. In some ways, it's been almost fun.
So, why don't you explain to the listeners a little bit what the court case was about that was settled on Monday, and what was going on with that?
Well, first, I think we need to start at the beginning of this all. When my petitions were filed to be endorsed by the Democratic Party, or I should say the Hudson City Democratic Party, a crucial piece of paper was left out. And it was a filing error, and it wasn't time-stamped properly, and sadly, the BOE... And everybody, because
that's all the Board of Elections,
because of all the other petitions that had come in flawlessly handled and submitted by Victor, who happens to be my interviewer here, were correct. Everybody assumed mine was correct, too. So that said, what occurred after that is that my petition was considered to be null and void. In order for me to get back, or at least have the opportunity to be on the Democratic line in November, what is called an OTB, otherwise known as an opportunity to ballot petition, had to be filed. We filed it. We filed it actually with more signatures than what were on my original petitions in a timely and completely, how does one want to say, perfect fashion, and submitted it to the BOE. We thought all was over after that. But at the 11th hour, my opponents mounted a challenge stating that the OTB petition was null and void because I had had some of the same people signing that petition. But the irony is here is that the initial petition was null and void and thrown out and discounted. So therefore, they didn't really have any legal leg to stand on. But what it was done in order to, quite frankly, everybody, our campaign and that of my running mates has a great deal of traction. and it's a popular campaign, and it's seen as possibly a new start, and we represent issues of transparency, fairness, openness, and inclusion. And I think that that was something that was terribly threatening to my opponents. Mm-hmm. So we won.
And the case actually wasn't decided on the merits of the case. The case was was thrown out because of the just like your initial petition was not the acceptance was not filed in a timely fashion. The court case was not filed in a timely fashion as well for your opponents, and the judge threw it out on those grounds, but not without having expressed thoughts, well, reservations about the validity of the petition itself. So that was an interesting thing. There's plenty of for people who want to read more about it. There's more in the Register Star. From the past week, there are a number of reports about it on Sam Pratt's blog, sampratt.com, and on the Gossips of Rivertown, people will be able to, and that's the Gossips of Rivertown.blogspot.com, which is always an interesting blog for people to read about things going on in the city of Hudson. So. Now that you're past this, there will be a primary on the Democratic line in the city of Hudson, and people are being asked on the Democratic from the Democratic Party, of which I am the chair of the Hudson City Democratic Committee. For full disclosure, the Democrats will be running a campaign to have you written in for that primary. Basically, when people show up at the polls, there will be a slot for the mayor's race, but there will be no individuals on the ballot. It'll just be a write-in campaign for anyone. So
that is true. But what I'm really hoping is that my name gets written in on that date, because up until 2 weeks ago, I was the putative endorsed Democratic candidate for mayor of the city of Hudson.
Mm-hmm. How will that work? Will people actually have to physically write in?
Yes, they physically have to write in my name. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Haddad, Nicholas C. Haddad, Nick Haddad. It has to be recognizable. There has to be intent. If you misspellings are not necessarily an issue, mm-hmm. because the election regulators or the people that will be reviewing this particular primary will be able to see that the voters have a particular candidate in mind when they put his or her name in that slot.
And people can also use rubber stamps.
They can.
And will you be providing rubber stamps?
We are. We will be. Mm-hmm. If someone is having a hard time spelling my name, 3 D's in the last name, it might be, we'll give them a stamp. Mm-hmm. It'll be simple.
So so now that you passed this court challenge, and it seems as if that's the end of the line for
it
the
appears
court
to
challenge,
be.
They have the right to appeal, although it seems...
It's hardly likely.
Right. So what about your, you know, what your campaign and your platform, like, what is it that you, where do you see the city going? What are you, what are the issues that you are most concerned with for the city?
Well, right now, of course, we're putting together a campaign platform, and I have to apologize. We're somewhat sidetracked over the last week and a half with this court challenge, which sort of took our, not necessarily our eye, but definitely our time off of the preparation of an effective platform. But that is being fine-tuned and synthesized somewhat and refined, and over the next 2 days that platform will come out. But obviously there are certain issues that are really sitting out there. We have to talk about economic development. We are going to be talking about quality of life issues, which of course tie in with economic development. We are going to be talking about the waterfront. We're going to be talking about job creation. We're going to be talking about equal tax assessments for all and the budgetary issues, which in essence drive our tax base, or our tax base drives those budget issues. So those items will be part and parcel of our platform, my platform, and I trust that of my running mates, collective running mates. We're all going to be working for the same thing, which is ultimately, at the end of the day, a fair tax base, the opportunity for everyone to participate in our political system and in our community. And we really, really, really have to look for what sort of a template can we provide for meaningful jobs, meaningful industries to find this city attractive to either relocate or to start up in. Mm-hmm. And we really want to work on that. We're seeing it happen. It's in its infancy, but it's extremely positive. And we're also going to be talking about how do we keep people that come here for those kinds of jobs in our community for the long term and want to participate. And those will be discussions about if you choose to have a family, how will you'll want your child to be in our public school system. So we'll have conversations about that.
So one of the most contentious issues in Hudson and in the area itself is our waterfront. So Do you have any particular ideas that you could enunciate at this point about where you see our waterfront going, and are there any solutions that you can see to the problems that we face as far as developing the waterfront in a thoughtful and reasonable way?
Well, I think we need to look at the waterfront as two parts. The development of the waterfront, meaning what is on paper right now as far as how the commercial, residential, and entertainment portion of the waterfront, it really looks very good on paper, and it shouldn't be hamstrung by what is a terribly contentious relationship with the industrial portion. I don't think any portion of the waterfront should necessarily be zoned as heavy industry, which it is, for all intents and purposes, zoned that way now. And ultimately, we have to deal with the trucks on our street, the trucks on the causeway, and so forth. There is a rail option that is there. We need to explore that more. No one wants to deny a manufacturer their right to do business. We can, however, moderate that somewhat. We shouldn't have these heavy trucks on our street. We shouldn't have these heavy trucks in our wetlands and on the causeway. There is a rail option that can be explored, and I really think we need to do that. But that said, and it ultimately, I truly believe that our waterfront should belong to the citizens of this community, and ultimately it's our job to find some way to, I don't know if we're talking about purchasing it, or some long-term plan where we have a sense, our self-determination of what is right for the 6,500 people in the city shouldn't necessarily be proscribed by a handful of folks who are really have no interest in us and utilize us for their own purposes. And oddly enough, right now are suing this city and want their tax burden to be reduced and stating that it's not as valued as high as we think it is. Mm-hmm. And cutting it to a point that, I mean, quite frankly, is almost insulting. Mm-hmm. To people that work very, very hard to pay their taxes every single year.
So for people who may not be fully aware of this lawsuit, I just wanted to explain that Holcim is the company that owns the property, formerly St. Lawrence Cement, and now a Swiss conglomerate named Holcim. And they had their assessment raised to, I believe, $4.5 million. This is for a huge number of acres at the waterfront and attached to the waterfront and the toward the all around the South Bay area. The company claims that they make no money at the dock, and that therefore they should have their assessment reduced to $1.6 million, I believe. And people will excuse me if I don't have the numbers exactly right, but I think that's pretty close. The assessment of $1.5 million is basically could be two buildings on Warren Street, and here we're talking about dozens, if not hundreds, of acres of property that that are being assessed at $4.5 million, they seem to have a problem with that. And it's
they've always had a problem with numbers. They had problems with numbers years ago. They were going to invest, by their counting, $396 or $369 million industrial complex for which they were prepared to pay little or no taxes for. Mm-hmm. Because they determined that it was transferable property. It wasn't fixed. I don't really get it. I mean, this economy is extremely tough right now. There are a lot of businesses, small businesses, businesses that hire folks in our neighborhood and pay them living wages. And I don't see them grousing or carrying on or saying that their tax assessments should be reduced because they're not making any money. It's a specious argument. It's a mean-spirited argument. And I don't really think we need to look at these folks as being our friends. We have to work with them. Don't get me wrong here. Mm-hmm. We don't want them to be. There should be a positive dialogue with them. I don't think it happens. I think that any new administration would want that. You don't get anywhere fighting. You don't get anywhere making unreasonable claims on each other. Mm-hmm. It's compromise at the end of the day, but you need to be strong and you need to stand up for the folks that have elected you, your constituents, and for what's good for the community in the long term. We're not looking at just tomorrow. We're looking at 20, 30 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. What types of industry do you see working and being a good fit here in the city?
Well, we're starting to see them right now. We're seeing small manufacturing facilities utilizing some of our recently vacated industrial space. I think that those industries, and we call them industries, and maybe that's their
I mean,
cottage
I'm using
industries.
I'm using it in the larger, more global sense.
I think they're showing up here right now because they see a wealth of talent in the community. They see the avail, and they're not looking at these folks, the people that they're hiring and paying them not living wages. They're paying some pretty darn good wages by comparison. Mm-hmm. And they're paying their taxes. We look right now, for example, in what used to be the L&B facility. We have at least two, possibly three small manufacturing facilities that are growing by leaps and bounds, that are hiring people in the area, that have brought people to the area. We don't see them reaching out for tax breaks. If anything, we see them reaching out into the community and hiring local tradesmen to help them expand their facilities. Mm-hmm. We see them hiring local employees, because when we look in our community, we find that it's rich with people that are available and want to work and want to contribute. I think we can build on that. We look at And everybody's been talking about Etsy. Etsy is going to provide at least 50 jobs in what used to be the old Griffin Warehouse, now known as the Cannonball Factory. 50 jobs. That's significant.
And significantly, Etsy asked for no tax breaks.
No tax breaks whatsoever.
Even when offered, right. Government support or government subsidies, they completely refused to accept any.
They have a social conscience, too. They understand that the people that do business with them feel the same way about the universe that they do. Mm-hmm. And it's a give back. The fact that they didn't ask, the fact that they went out there and took a risk to transfer a facility into Hudson and hire within our community, mm-hmm, says a great deal, and didn't turn to us and say, "Hey, look what we're doing, guys. Why don't you cut my taxes," mm-hmm, or "How about a grant here or there?" Mm-hmm. They did it themselves.
Right.
That's what small entrepreneurs are all about. And that's what makes any community strong. And
not that Etsy is so small anymore.
It's not so small anymore, but the point is, at the end of the day, they're not GM.
Right.
They're still they're building.
Sure. We have a number of vacant or underused properties in the city, some being held by the city, some being held by the Hutchinson Development Corporation, which is ultimately an arm of the city, but is a nonprofit economic development agency. How do you see those buildings fitting into the landscape of the economic development?
Well,
that
let's
like
look
to
at,
see?
Are we looking at them both from the commercial and industrial side? Or are we looking at it from the residential side, or a combination of both?
I think certainly that's what I want to hear.
Well, we have them both, and we have, quite frankly, I mean, and it's not just the city of Hudson that has these underdeveloped properties. There are some property owners in the city who are, and mind you, they're just warehousing property right mm-hmm. now. I should say where much of it being residential property, and it's being warehoused. I think we should provide encouragement. How's that? Mm-hmm. To develop it,
right,
and offer it, and put it out there in an appropriate fashion, a finished fashion, get a revenue stream coming in, but give anybody the right place to live. It'll always be the right place to live. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I would want to look into more of what the city's holdings are. I can really only speak right now on the private real estate holder's side. There's a shortage of what might be called affordable housing in the city. That housing can be prepared and produced for a very competitive number and still be affordable.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to stop for a moment. This is At Issue. I'm Victor Mendolia. I'm the host today, and we're with Nick Haddad, who is the candidate for mayor in the city of Hudson. I also wanted to just reiterate that the views expressed by volunteer on-air hosts like myself do not represent or reflect the views of WGXC. WGXC is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXC's on-air dialogue, call 518-828-0290 or email info@wgxc.org. This station definitely wants to hear all views and all sides of issues, and we certainly welcome other candidates and other people who have an opinion to participate in the on-air dialogue here. So we hope that people will take advantage of that opportunity. So we talked a little bit about economic development and the warehousing of properties. Do you have any sense that some of the warehousing of properties here is holding back the city's economic development?
There are two ways of looking at it. Sure, warehousing properties and allowing them. There's a term called demolition by neglect. When you purchase a piece of property, ultimately one would expect and therefore assume you're going to develop it. Leaving it fallow and not maintaining it, in fact, impacts negatively on the the buildings adjacent to it,
mm-hmm.
ultimately the neighborhood, ultimately in perception. And then that affects the city as a whole. I believe that there is a responsibility. It's not anything that's written in stone, but I really think that if a person buys a multi-unit building and then just leaves it and barely mows the lawn,
mm-hmm.
It should be suggested in a strong fashion that you do something about that. We know you're paying your taxes. That's not the issue. The issue here is a larger picture. You have a responsibility to your community. You have a responsibility to your immediate community. And part of that, we understand that there sometimes are financial constraints that prevent you from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And if those do that, that's many cases can be understood. But the issues we're talking about here, it isn't necessarily the case. We don't know exactly what it's about, but
because there are two specific landlords in mm-hmm. the in the city that hold a huge number of prime properties. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's the Pocketbook Factory and the former Elks Lodge on Union Street, and the Allen Street School, which is held by one right. owner, and then there's the Apartments of Distinction and a number of other sure. key properties that are owned by another. So,
but the Pocketbook Factory has been remediated,
right.
in many ways. Now, did the owner share the vision of the people that came before the city 15 or 16 years ago of developing it as artist studios, as condominiums? No. But if you look at it, every single window in that building mm-hmm. has been replaced. Every window frame has been painted. Mm-hmm. It looks appropriate. And, in fact, it's being utilized.
Right.
It's being utilized as a commercial space by the owner. I think the same thing is going to happen with that same owner will happen ultimately with the Elks Club.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a long process. That building also needed a lot of work. Well, work insofar as cleaning it out and making it. But in that case, it's less... That's actually less about warehousing. Well, it is and it is, and I have to backtrack a little bit here. What happens to the Elks? I have no idea what the owner is going to do. I'm assuming they will be leasing it. That would mm-hmm. be my assumption.
Right.
But it's only been a short period of time since...
I know, it was recently cleaned out.
The Apartments of Distinction, I think that goes back 5 years now, to the fire that made it uninhabitable,
mm-hmm.
and there isn't even a piece of plastic on the roof to cover the hole.
Right.
For
those who don't know, the Apartments of Distinction is a fairly large apartment building on Fifth and Union. It's a beautiful building. We're going to take a break for a moment, and we'll be right back. This is At Issue on WGXE 90.7 FM. Broadcasting from Accra, and we're in the Hudson studio. Be right back. Back at Issue. I'm Victor Mandolia. I'm the host today, and I'm with Nick Haddad, who is running for mayor of the city of Hudson. So going forward, now that you have won your court case, and there will be a primary on the Democratic line where you're asking people to write in your name, what else is going on the campaign trail, and what do you think is
do you see it going? Well, we have primaries in the first and third wards. The first ward for supervisor and alderman, and the third ward for supervisor. And I'd like you, Victor, to fill in as the Democratic chair what's going on.
Well, in the first ward, the Democratic committee has endorsed Dave Marston and Larissa Thomas for alderman, and Sarah Sterling, who's the current alderman, is running for supervisor. And they will be running against Gita Chetty, who is the sitting alderman from in the first ward, and John Musall, who is Gita Chetty's husband, is the supervisor, the sitting supervisor in that ward as well. In the third ward, the current alderman, Ellen Thurston, is running for supervisor, and is being challenged by Glenn Martin, who is a former police chief in the city of Hudson and is a Democrat, but has been endorsed by the Republicans. But because he's a Democrat, he had the ability to carry petitions on the Democratic line, and will be running against Ms. Thurston. as far as your campaign goes, how do you, do you have a plan of action?
Well, my plan of action right now is to encourage folks in the first ward to get to know Larissa and Dave. I don't think you'll find two finer people or two people that exemplify more what a public servant is all about. The same token with Sarah. We've watched Sarah on the Common Council for years. She's done a terrific job, and I think as supervisor she'll do as good, if not better, a job, and we need her voice on the county level. But when they come to your house and want to talk to you, I strongly suggest that you listen, because Larissa is dynamic and energetic and smart and committed to the First Ward and to the city at large. Mm-hmm. Dave Marston, one of the articulate, as smart. I mean, you couldn't ask for two people who want what is best for this city, mm-hmm. and will work and have a lot at stake. They're vested here. By the same token, everybody knows Ellen. Ellen has been is extraordinary. She's a fixture in the city in the third. Imagine her, on many levels, I really wish she was, we're going to miss her on the Common Council. But my goodness, when she gets on the county level as supervisor,
yeah,
it's going to be terrific. It's fabulous.
One of the things that I think for myself, that I'm so interested in Ellen's campaign is that for people in the city of Hudson who understand the dynamics on the county level, one of the things that has been missing is in all of the county's tourism campaigns and economic development campaigns is that they pretty much always ignore the city of Hudson, which is driving the tourism economy.
Hudson is driving the tourism bus in the county.
Right.
Any two ways you slice it.
Amazing things for me was that I was looking at the tourism materials that the county puts out, and nowhere on the front of the brochure that they use for, they put these in train stations and bus depots and things, and in these tourism racks, but. It said, visit Columbia County, but it had nothing about Hudson. You had to go five pages into it before Hudson was even mentioned in the thing, and it still wasn't prominent. So, and yet, you constantly see stories about Hudson, and I mean, even just this past week, there was a huge article in the New York Times about Hudson, which there is often. I mean, it seems every season there is at least one article about Hudson in the New York Times, and clearly. People have an awareness of where Hudson is, yet the county doesn't market Hudson in the least. And I think that having Ellen Thurston, who has been really a leader on cultural and tourism issues and everything, would certainly shake it up a little. It would be I'd love to see her. Advocate for the city in a way that really has been missing. I think that's
all one needs to do is ask the owners of the bed and breakfasts in the city and ask them how many people they turn away daily,
mm-hmm.
who want to come to the city. They want to come for a lot of reasons. Yes, it's tourism. They come here to look at the beauty of Columbia County. We're not taking it away from the county, mm-hmm. to visit Alana, to visit Claremont and all other places of interest in the north. But they want to stay in Hudson. They want to stay in Hudson because it's dynamic, it's interesting, it's fun. There's a wide range of people here that run the gamut from folks that, they have headstones in the cemetery to folks that have just shown up here and put down roots. This is a terrific place, and I think with Ellen Thurston and Sarah and Larissa Thomas and Dan Marston Dave Marston, Sarah Sterling, it's going to be a better place, and I'm 110% behind.
So, on the issue of lodging, let's just say, so where do you see that going? How would you, as mayor, would you seek to try to improve the lodging situation?
Well, we have You can't improve much upon the group of bed and breakfasts we have right now, with maybe one exception. But I don't even want to say that. They're all good, and they're always, and they're always filled. And the other thing, too, everybody sort of cross-pollinates with each other. They share. Remember this. This is, while it's competitive, it's not really that competitive. If the Inn at Hudson has an overflow, they send it to the Croft House, who sends it to the Country
Front
Squire,
Street,
the
bed
Front
and
Street
bread,
and breakfast, and so forth. But we do have we have an empty hotel with a storied history, and it would be nice to talk to the owners and possibly see what their long-term goals are for that building.
And you're speaking about the St. Charles.
I'm talking about the St. Charles right now. And the St. Charles could be a linchpin building at the park. It had been historically, and was up until fairly recently, a fairly successful restaurant and eatery, and offered rooms at a fair rate. And I think even now folks do stay there. But it isn't on everybody's radar, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And I think that that's part of what possibly the Chamber of Commerce could do. Sit down with the owners and find out. Maybe they need some help. Maybe they don't. Maybe they need some encouragement. Maybe they need to be felt, can feel as though they're part of the economic fabric of the city. But that's something that I think any administration would want to encourage. By the same token, we have one of the most interesting Art Deco-y looking buildings in the Warren Inn that possibly could be utilized for something much differently than it is utilized for right now. But those, again, that's more of a reach out. That's more of the responsibility of economic community leaders, or I should say community economic leaders, who want to talk to the owners. Everybody wants to be engaged, I think. You just need to ask them.
Back to vacant properties and things. One of the key pieces of properties that that HDC, the Hudson Development Corporation, has is the CAS Warehouse, which is not the CAS offices, which is in Greenport, actually, but the CAS Warehouse is down near the train station. It's behind Stageworks, and is a very large warehouse. The HDC is holding that property and has, at least if I understand it correctly, put out bids for to have the property demolished. Is that an area that you could would support, perhaps bringing in a hotel or something? Would you like to see a hotel at the waterfront?
Well, I think that there has been, that is part of what the LWRP has been all about. I mean, as far as the preliminary drawings show, some kind of a hotel or some sort of complex that affords rooms.
For our listeners who don't know, the LWRP is a local waterfront redevelopment plan, which has been in the works for about 20 years, is at a critical stage, and it is maybe before the council this year for final approval. Perhaps not. Depends. There's a lot of things that have happened recently with wildlife designations and things like that that may be stalling it. But I just wanted to explain for the listeners who don't know what LWRP is, that's what's going on.
I have to say that I don't know enough about the former CAS building down by the waterfront and what its condition is, or why the Development Corporation wants to demolish it. I think I would have to look into that a little bit more, but if that is part and parcel of the long-term LWRP goal, then of course that... And nothing is being ruled out to be used that is in an effective and comprehensive plan for the development of the waterfront. I would imagine that hotels are part of it. They appear to be in the big picture, so I wouldn't want to discount that at all.
Right. Do you think that having hotels or new housing, for instance, do you think that's a piece of the fix for our tax burden and the overwhelming burden that we pay in the city of Hudson? Almost in the city of Hudson, we pay almost 10 times the rate that the rest of the county pays in taxes.
I'm sure that in order to get the investors in the waterfront, there would be some, one would, I mean, from what I've seen, there are always tax issues. But looking currently right now, we have some what might be considered moderate income housing that was once again reissued a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I'm a landlord. I own some property in the city of Hudson. All of the apartments, of which there are just a few, are modestly priced. Not all of them. Some of them are. I still pay full boat on my taxes. The subsidized housing does not mean that the landlord makes nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They make what subsidized housing pays, and it's surprisingly more than you would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Giving a tax break on that basis is, I'm sorry, it's not fair. And I'm talking about the terrace apartments, particularly Hudson Terrace. No problem with what the owners have done as far as remediating and renovating them now for the next 20 years, but issuing a tax credit, I'm not sure if that was completely appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And it should, we're going back to what is called equal assessments and equal taxes for all. By adding more houses or more properties on the tax roll, you automatically underwrite the tax roll more significantly.
Right.
So, yes, and development should be, watched. We should be sensible about it. We're not just going to build willy-nilly down on the waterfront. I don't know whether or not housing is necessarily an appropriate part of the waterfront. The word appropriate makes it sound like it might not be right, but I don't know enough about what kind of residential units they're considering. I don't know if they're considering them as condominiums or they're considering them as rental apartments, but I think that's all part of who is brought in with their vision and sitting down with the city.
When I lived in New York, I lived in Battery Park City, which would be probably one of the most ideal development of waterfront space, which is a combination of
retail and commercial,
right? Exactly, yeah.
and residential
and parks. So it's would seem like something along those lines would really be ideal down there. As far as your campaign goes and your message, how do you plan on?
I definitely, what my plans are as follows: we're going to win the primary in September, and then I'd at this point like to offer my opponent an opportunity to debate me, and I think possibly more than one debate would be necessary in order to discuss all the issues that are on the table. And I'm hoping he agrees to it.
Mm-hmm.
So right at this moment, I'd like to say once we get this primary behind us, we're going to ask for a debate in a public forum and open.
That sounds like it would be a great thing for the people to be able to hear from both candidates.
I think it'd be terrific.
Mouths themselves, right?
Absolutely. You got to hear you in your own voice.
Right. I want to remind people that coming up at 11 o'clock is Al Jazeera English. Al Jazeera English is broadcast every day, every weekday on WGXC at 11 a.m. And this is At Issue. I'm Victor Mandolia. I'm here with Nick Haddad, who is the candidate for mayor. In addition to the Democratic line, which, as we've explained, there will be a primary, an open primary where you are asking people to have your name written in. You also received the endorsement of the Working Families Party as well.
Yes, I did. I received that endorsement about 2 months ago. So either way, I'm on the ballot in November.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be also on the ballot with the Democratic line.
Right. The Working Families Party has a particular bent, or philosophy. Is that something that you see yourself in alignment with?
Well, of course, of course. I think what the working families represent are a lot of the ideals and values that the Democratic Party represents.
Mm-hmm.
It's about enfranchisement. It's about, again, I go back to it. It's fairness. It's fair wages. It's respecting and agreeing with that. In this great country that we live in, we need a support system. There are people in this country that are deserving of support who may or may not be able to work, who may or may not have benefit of health care. And the Working Families Party stands for those values. They're basic American values. You're defined, any nation is defined by its quality of mercy and by its willingness to treat people who are suffering or maybe not suffering or who happen just to need a leg up mm-hmm. with the same respect that everybody is treated with. And in my administration going forward, the industry of poverty and the industry of patronage has no place.
Mm-hmm.
We've, for too long, elements in this city have made hay, made money, have lined their own pockets by building an industry based around poverty and need. We want an industry based around empowerment, not about that, not about poverty, not about keeping folks the same way as they came in. Mm-hmm. We want them to go out. Everybody, I say it sounds so simplistic. At the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We want dignity. We want to be able to look our families in the eye and know we've done the right thing and that we've done the right thing for our family. So, again, poverty and patronage have no business and will not. They won't even be. We're throwing them out. That's it.
So, on that note, how do you... Do you see a way out for people? I mean, for
well,
people
sure
who
do.
Are living in poverty and have needs, how do you balance the services which are needed with trying to lift people out of poverty? Do you see that as a role for the mayor of a city?
I think the role of the mayor in a situation like that is to spearhead or how does one want to say empower and build committees and assign people to address these situations. It could be in the form of apprenticeship programs. It could be in the form of encouragement to stay in school, reaching out to families. But at the end of the day, it also goes down to the neighborhood. The neighborhoods in this town are great, and we need to be able to encourage people to reach to their neighbor, ask their neighbor if he or she needs something, and then bring it to the attention of your community representative, and then in turn to the administration. But we can build programs here. We're a small city. We have a small population. We're very manageable to do this. But at the end of the day, we can't blame people for not wanting to take advantage of programs if those programs don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the role ultimately is for everybody to feel empowered, know they're empowered, and feel as though they've done the right, a good thing, an honest day's work, look themselves in the eye and say, I'm really delighted with the way things are going. I know that sounds pie in the sky on some levels, but we need to look at these issues.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that some time ago when the discussions about Washington Hose, which is the historic firehouse that's at the base of Warren Street, one of the components that was promised there is a job training center, some sort of partnership with the workforce New York at the college. Is that something that you would support down there?
Well, I think we should support it down there. There's room in the building.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of room for
and
something
certainly
like
it would
that.
Be situated in and one, it would of be the, situa- one of the poorest areas of the city.
Well, a neighborhood that is But I don't know whether or not a lot of the folks that live down there would want to define themselves as poor.
Oh, absolutely not. Okay, I'm talking about income level.
Income level, yeah. But that has a lot to do about living wage too. They're hardworking. We our minimum wage in this country, frankly, is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 80% of America believes that minimum wage should be $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Let's get a grip on that.
Right.
Most of the local businesses here, myself included, pay a lot more than that an hour for our employees. And we train them.
One of the things that we touched on it a little bit with regards to the relationship between Hudson and the county is there's often a contentious relationship. How do you see your administration trying to improve the relationship between the county and the city?
First thing is to get Sarah and Ellen on the County Board of Supervisors. Mm-hmm. That's the big step right there. Get people who believe in the city and can speak for the city and can stand up for the city. Right now we have some very, very good folks from the various wards on the county level who are doing a bang-up job standing up for the city. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you're right, it's contentious. But that has more to do with this an imagined reputation of Hudson, which has only been embellished over the years. But when you look at, and I don't even know if it was ever true, but there has always been this sense that Hudson is a lawless, wild and lawless place. That isn't the case, for goodness sakes, and not deserving of consideration. And I think it's just unfair. And it stinks, quite frankly.
I know somebody was relaying a story to me that one of the supervisors, a Republican supervisor from a town on the edge of the county, said to them, they said that they were going into Hudson, and she said, "Now you be careful going into Hudson now."
I don't know what they're talking about. Bizarre. You can walk up and down Warren Street. Cars are left unlocked. Everybody's house door is open. Yeah. This is baloney. And folks that want to make, you know.
Well, not everybody's house door is open.
Not everybody's house door, but most folks feel very, very comfortable. There isn't the kind of, this. While it exists in every community, of course we're going to have it, but this is not the Wild West.
Right, right.
This is, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this, it's Mayberry, man. This is a great place.
We're going to take one more break. This is At Issue. We're on WGXC 90.7 FM, broadcasting from the Hudson studio. 90.7 is broadcast from the ACRA transmitter in New York. We'll be right back with At Issue. And we're back with At Issue. I'm here with Nick Haddad, who is the Democratic-endorsed candidate and the Working Families Party-endorsed candidate for mayor of the city of Hudson. So we only have a few more minutes left. I was wondering what you thought about the possible move of the Department of Social Services and other agencies from the city of Hudson out to the former Walmart building in Greenport. For people who don't know, at tonight's Board of Supervisors meeting, there seems to be a vote on whether to do this move, and that'll take place at 7:30 at the Board of Supervisors chambers on 401 State Street for people who want to see what's going on with that issue. But I was wondering what you think about the move.
Well, I think if you were to ask the folks in Hudson what they thought and what I think we'd all concur that it isn't exactly the right idea. Moving DSS out to, first off, let's start from the beginning here. We're going to do Walmart a favor by take a building that's whose shelf life is over, that needs a new roof, and we're going to pay them good money to move there. Mm-hmm. Because why? Because the county's afraid, or I should say Greenport's afraid, that it's going to be left empty? Well, take it up with Walmart right there. We have a building in Hudson that that DSS is currently in that could I don't think the conversation has been completely explored about remaining in that building. I think that's a conversation that the Board of Supervisors has, and I think that it's been voiced that by staying and servicing people, it's accessible. I'm jumping all over the place here. How easy do you think it's going to be to get the DSS out at Walmart? I don't think it'll be as easy as everybody is saying it's going to be. You want to buy a building and then put $15 million in it? I mean, right at this time, when we have a building that we're leasing, maybe we could buy it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could rehabilitate it. I don't know whether or not everything has been completely explored. I think that the folks in Hudson who use the Department of Social Services will be long-term less served or ill-served by having to travel. Let's say, any way you slice, it's going to take 15 or 20 minutes to get out there by mm-hmm. trolley. A lot of the folks don't have cars. They're going to rely on this. I don't think it's a great idea.
Do you see this as a dismantling of the county seat?
Of course it is.
Uh-huh.
We're the county seat.
Right.
Services flow from here. We're also the recipient. All the people that work in DSS, they buy their lunches. They do their daily business, oftentimes in the city of Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
Sure it is. I mean, but this is a concerted effort by, I think, certain members within the county mm-hmm. to deny Hudson its, how does one want to say, legitimacy on that level.
We spoke earlier about Ellen Thurston and Sarah Sterling, who are running and are in primaries for their seats, and they are in contested races in November. In any case, whether they win whether they would win the primary or not, obviously they'd have to win the primary in both cases because that's their only line. But if they win, they still will be challenged by the sitting
supervisors
in the first ward, and then in the third ward they would still have a race. There are three other people, three other supervisors in the city of Hudson, and they are all running unopposed. It's Bill Hughes from the fourth ward, Ed Cross from the second ward, and current Mayor Scalera is running unopposed for supervisor in the fifth ward. How do you see yourself working with the sitting supervisors
Sitting supervisors would, if asked, agree with me, particularly concerning DSS.
Mm-hmm.
They're public with it. I mean, they're not necessarily slamming the move completely,
right?
But they have extreme reservations. I know Mayor Scalera's heart is all about this city.
Mm-hmm.
He is. 100, you know, he wants what's best for here. I think when Mayor Scalera goes to the County Board of Supervisors, he's going to be 100% behind Hudson, possibly even more so. I think the other guys out there have a lot to worry about because we're sending a guy, you know, when Mayor Scalera guts on the supervisors, he's going to bring a wealth of knowledge and ability to them. The same token, Billy Hughes, knows so much about the workings of this city. I think I could work with all three of them. There's absolutely no question. No question whatsoever. And hopefully we'll have Ellen and Sarah as well. I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think most concerns people is the ability of people to find affordable housing in the city. Is that a concern of yours as well?
Well, it's a concern, but I don't think it's that. What's the hard thing is to find affordable housing that is decent.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you from personal experience, you can make very decent affordable housing, mm-hmm. something that makes you feel empowered and respects you as a person when you move in. We have landlords here who, so to speak, provide affordable housing, but in many cases it's abominable. Mm-hmm. It's an outrage.
Would you support more mm-hmm. housing like Crosswinds, which is built as workforce housing?
But I also think we can work within our beautiful architecture that we have here.
Uh-huh.
Renovating appropriately and with respect to historical traditions and provide affordable housing in neighborhoods without moving everybody out to another neighborhood.
I see, yeah.
I think spreading housing out, affordable housing, throughout any city makes it a better place.
Mm-hmm.
it integrates you more in communities.
Right.
I don't think everybody should be locked into one housing complex because it is quote unquote affordable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's one of the real failures
of
urban renewal, which right. You know, the concentration of the poor in one place.
It's inappropriate.
It's really,
and
it's a failed policy.
Right.
Anyway,
it always has been, and it has been.
So we're pretty much out of time. I want to remind our listeners that we have at Issue has a Facebook page, and we post we give you advance notice of people who will be appearing on the show, and we also post all of our archives there, or links to the archives. So I hope that people will join our Facebook page. It's at Issue. It's facebook.com/@issue spelled out. Please like the page, and you'll be kept up to date about what's going on the show. I want to thank my guest Nick Haddad for joining us today, and I did want to just one more last time say the views expressed on this show do not represent or reflect the views of WGXE. WGXE is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. The views expressed on this show are mine and my guests alone. So if you would like to have your thoughts and your opinions heard by the wider listening audience, you should contact the station at info@wgxc.org or at 828-0290. Thanks again for listening. Coming up is Al Jazeera English. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Leading to the Henry Hudson Riverfront Park.
Family festivities include Gaia Roots.